The following is a 1250 WTMA special presentation.
I'm John Quincy, and this is the history of TMA. WTMA has been serving the Lowcountry for over seven decades. Our first broadcast was on June 15, 1939, with a special program from the Dock Street Theater. 70 years later, we were still going strong, with a special program from WTMA's Faber Place Studios. On Monday, June 15, 2009, our official 70th birthday, we took a break from our regular local talk programming to spend some time with some WTMA on-air alumni. Here's how Radio Free Rocky D sounded that day.
Welcome, 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 my fellow Charlestonians, citizens of the Lowcountry, those who serve in uniform to protect the red, white, and blue, and those who serve in local uniform, sworn to protect the innocent citizens of the Lowcountry. And then there's me. This is Radio Free Rocky D, the Big Dogger. Blow that birthday candle out on 1250 WTMA. You, my friends, may in fact be politically incorrect. All you gotta do is stand up in front of a crowd and tell the truth out loud. When you tell the truth out loud, that makes you politically incorrect as well. And you'll be surrounded immediately by the PC thought police. They're saying, hey, this can't be 70 years old. Obama's only 40-something. This world didn't exist before that, right? See, I love liberals. It's like shooting pigeons. 1250 WTMA, 556-1250 is my number. 843-556-1250. You can also email me at rockyd@wtma.com, or you can instant message me at rockyd1250. I got some all kinds of messages here from people who got who won prizes back then.
It would be a
six-pack of pop.
Yeah. I remember my sister won something on the radio, and it was like the biggest deal.
What'd you win?
I don't remember. Maybe some kind of 45 or record or something.
Yeah. Records were always cool.
Yeah.
You know? Now we give away 70th birthday party tickets, which you can win later on in the show. We're still going to do Amber Waves of Grain, and we still got stupid criminal stories, I believe. So, you know, because those are all on the log here. On the horn with us right now, another one of the so-called original talker yacker news people. He's from the College of Charleston, Mike Robertson. Hey, Mike.
Hey, can I tell you a quick story here?
Yeah.
About prizes and things?
Yeah.
I remember I was driving, up to Walhalla to cover a trial and listening to an AM station, one of these real small stations, and they were giving away a loaf of bread on the air.
A loaf of bread?
Yeah, I know. I didn't have cell phone, so I couldn't call, but I thought, that's great. I've never heard anybody give away a loaf of bread before. That's when you know you're in good radio signal.
You know what? Sometimes small prizes work, like if you give away certificates for pizza and stuff, but you got to add something else into it.
Well, it could have been whole wheat bread. I don't know.
Whenever I come in with Radio Free Rocky D stuff,
yeah,
okay, like Rocky D evening wear from Blue Moon Grab, people would fight over it in the hallway. We brought a box of hats in, and we're all different colors. Because I said, whatever you got left over, throw it on there. You got one, too. Donna's wearing a Radio Free Rocky T-shirt that says, my baby daddy went to jail, and all I got was his T-shirt. That's my logo on there.
Well, I think it's radio in general, because I know when I was there, you know, people would bring food in.
Yeah.
And nobody would even ask where it came from. They just start eating it.
Yeah. Thinking, we don't do that on my show at all.
No. I thought that was kind of odd. You know, somebody brings in food and, hey, it's free. Let me eat it.
I'm looking at an ad from 1989 with a thinner Dan Moon leaning off to the right over here. Worth Wearing, who says I can call him later on today.
Oh, yeah.
And got Scott Kaysen, who's over at Cheese Channel right now, right?
Yes, he is.
He still working over there?
I believe so.
And, of course, Dorothy Conflenti, you just heard her. She still sounds like a cutie. And you know what? I'm shocked to see news babes, because all of our radio news people in Chicago, they were ugly.
TMA attracted the beautiful people.
Well, that's just it. You know, and the TV people. And now, of course, you got it completely opposite. And then standing in the back, just a little white head in the background, like, oh, yeah, there's this guy, too.
With
the welcome back Cotter mustache.
Yeah, that was, ooh, God.
Mike Robertson. Mm. You still got that Cotter mustache?
No, come on.
Actually,
that's not around anymore.
So you were there in the beginning, too, right?
Yeah, near the beginning. I got there probably about a month before Hugo came. I was in another station across town, and they hired me at TMA. So I was there during all the fun and excitement of Hurricane Hugo, and on the air with Dorothy Conflenti 12, 14, 16 hours a day, talking about dry ice and where to get diapers and things like that. It was an amazing time.
So what were you doing when Hugo was hitting? Dan was on the air. Were you getting out of town too?
No, they kicked us out. Yeah.
They made you go.
Yeah, they made us go. And quite frankly, nobody thought the station could be around what they were predicting for Hurricane Hugo. So, you know, we were working with a radio station up in Columbia. WVOC is what it is now, but it's, I think, WIS radio or something like that back then. And, you know, we were able to, you know, work with them if need be. But afterwards, Dan said, come on down. So we did and, you know, stayed on the air forever.
Yeah, the thing is that you guys were trying to hightail out of town, and none of you got anywhere. How far did you get?
I've been a South Carolinian, so I know all these little back roads. Mm-hmm. So I was able to avoid the interstate, and it only took me like 6 hours to get to Columbia from here.
I see by the picture here, you guys are in that old building on Orange Grove Road, I can tell.
Oh, gosh, man. That was a dump.
Yeah.
Were you in there?
Well, when they brought me down, it was August of 2001.
Yeah.
And they showed me the building, and I said, take me back. I think they brought me up here three times.
Oh, yeah.
I came up the first time, and they took me to the old station and said, I don't think so. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going in a door of that place because it looks like it's condemned.
It was. But they kept us in there anyway.
and so Mike calls up the program, the general manager at the time, and says, he won't even go in. And I said, I'm not working there. I yelled that. I go back to Tampa. Take me to the airport. So Steve says, take him to where the new building is being built. And they took me by here. It wasn't done. We looked in, actually, this window right here. Huh. We looked in this window right here. We couldn't get in. I said, oh, that looks nice. Mm. And I got to help decide where some of the stuff was, or at least they let me think so at the time.
Well, that's nice, yeah.
So they were actually going to take this table down. They put it up against the window.
The old station was right there on the marsh, too, and that was another reason they told us to go ahead and leave, because they figured it was going to be flooded.
Oh, yeah. God was taking that land back. He said, radio station? I don't think so. Oh,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, right now, where the old tower is underwater. The thing is on a platform over the water, is it?
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
I mean, under about 3 feet of water is there now, but you used to be able to walk out to it.
Oh, it was amazing, too, was every once in a while, you'd do a newscast, look down on the floor, and see a fiddler crab walking around. That's when you know you're near the water.
Well, I haven't been able to get a hold of Kim Baby. And for those who remember Kim Baby, she was Donna before Donna got
it. Yes,
yes. And Kim Baby was on the air. I mean, she took off to Florence. But I went to their radio station website, Donna, and it's down. It's gone. Like, this site for sale. I'm like, uh-oh. Now what? I don't know what's going on. So I'm going to try to get a hold of her. I can't find her relatives in town. So members of the Basso family, call me now. 556-1250. I want to find out what's happening to Kim because she came by here one time, remember?
Yeah,
she's not. I still get along with her. I mean, we used to go to, I still talk to her once in a while. It's just that I can't find her number anywhere.
What station was it? Do you remember?
She worked up at the Eagle.
Oh, okay.
Kim Baby was, they called her Maddie. Oh. I don't know why. I don't know where that came from. But I said, no, go with it. And when she first went up there, she called back. And I think, I'm not sure, I think she was crying. She calls up and she says, hey, there's a little tiny icky studio. I said, welcome to small time radio. That's usually what it looks like. Y'all got spoiled over here in Faber Place. This is not what most smaller radio stations in other markets look like. But then again, we got on it. They got in here at the time when media market talk shows and talk stations were becoming more and more important. Mm-hmm. Because that's where the word got out. You know what I mean? Like what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it was fun back then because you could do things. And that was a time before we really had consultants and everything like that. And you know, I don't need to tell you about consultants, I guess.
Yeah, well, I can ask. I can tell you this much, Mike. What are the first three letters in the word consultant?
Con.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and you know, the interesting thing about that was that they did hire a consultant later on, and Dan Moon fought it. And Dan Moon won because they were trying to change the way he was doing a show, and it was ridiculous. This was a person who came down from Chicago who had never really listened to the station and wanted to make some changes, and Dan Moon fought it, and he fought it for all of us, and it was the first and only time I've seen somebody beat a consultant, and it worked because what he was doing on the air was perfect, was what needed to be done.
Yeah.
They want to make some changes. You know how that is. So.
Yeah, it's just... I was telling Dan, and I said, "What talk radio is the new top 40.
Oh, yeah.
We grew up at top 40, you and I, Donna. Grew up at top 40, and it was fun. It was local. I mean, it was a time when music stations played different music around different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's homogenized.
Yeah.
It's the same bland, flavorless soda water everywhere you go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the only thing I listen to now is talk radio, because that's the only thing where you hear something different.
There's more from Rocky D's June 15th, 2009 birthday broadcast, coming up next
on the History of TMA. I'm John Quincy.
The History of TMA. TMA. TMA.
Talk Radio 1250 WTMA.
Now let's get back to radio-free Rocky D on WTMA's official 70th birthday broadcast.
You know, that's bad, because I remember when I was growing up, I really wanted to be in radio, and I used to listen to the AM radio stations, LS in Chicago, and WWL, and
remember WMAQ in Chicago?
Of course,
I worked there! I did for a short time.
Yeah, well, those were wonderful stations because you could hear things that you wouldn't hear down here in Charleston or Columbia or anywhere else, and I think that's what made not only the station, but the markets in radio so magical, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that the station lasts that long anyway, because stations in down here, I don't know, there should be older stations. There's one older, isn't there, Don? There's one older station than we are here. I don't know what it is.
Call letters?
No, but it has changed call letters since, I believe.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, because, as you know, WMAQ in Chicago went on air like in 1921.
Yeah.
You know, and from you, because, you know, bigger city and all that stuff, even at the time. And I was amazed to go work in the Merchandise Mart building in Chicago, which was built when they first built it. That's when they put in a radio station.
Well, NBC owned it, right?
NBC owned us, right. We worked under Fred Silverman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Peacock's dead, so thank you, Fred. Yeah, thanks. Oh, hold on. We were on the 19th floor. The FM, long-haired maggots, of which I eventually became one, were on the 17th floor, all in the Merchandise Mart, with a 200-yard walk inside of a building. That's how big this thing is.
Wow.
The building is so big, we used to play football on the roof.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. There you go.
And every once in a while, a ball would fly over, a cop would come up holding the softball or whatever it is in the hand, like, And then on the 20th floor, up a walkway, was where Silverman's offices were and all that stuff. And women used to go up there and never come down. I think they ate them. But anyway, down here, this stuff was happening too. You had old stations and little old buildings all around the nation, and you still get them here and there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So while you were in the building on Orange Grove Road, did pieces of the ceiling fall off on you?
No, but I remember there was a dead rat in the ceiling one day.
Yay.
And they could not find it, and so, like, for 2 or 3 days, I mean, the stench got unbelievable, and it was right over the studio. And so, you know, you couldn't avoid it. You had to go. Back then, I was doing it a 2-hour newscast in the afternoon. So, it was brutal because, you know, during breaks, you'd had to run outside to try to grab some air and then run back in there and finish your newscast. It was fun radio. Let's put it that way.
I was only in that building for about 4 weeks, and we moved over here.
Yeah, you're lucky.
And yeah, definitely. And then when we moved over here, I thought, yeah, this is what I'm more used to, because this is like the station I came from in Tampa.
Well, you got, those are great facilities you have right now.
Yeah, these are, I mean, people don't realize, these young people who come in here, or even guests that come in here, they don't realize how nice this is compared to what it used to be a few years ago. This is better than the studio I had in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
These are great digs.
Yeah.
Mike, they really are. This is Donna. I had a friend come by and visit me one day who started out with me at another station, I think owned by Dudley way back in the day, maybe late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my God. I remember when you and I worked together on radio, we were like in a dumpy trailer in the mud.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
Well, and we had a pretty decent-sized news staff. I think about 6 or 7 people in our news department. And I remember, Dan used to do his talk show every once in a while in the studio itself, right across from, you know, where Donna would sit. And we'd have to snake our way around him to get ready for a newscast, and you know, it's just there was no room whatsoever, and
Dan never did want his own room.
No.
He never broadcast from inside this room here.
No, he didn't.
Except when I had him here as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
He always sat right there next to you, Donna. He sat right over there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild. I didn't know that.
He was always in there with Madeline. I should find Madeline too and talk to her.
Oh yeah.
But it's kind of hard to find people who are recent from like 10 years or less in radio, 10 years ago or less, because they're all disgruntled. You know what I mean?
I guess I'm gruntled then, right?
Yeah, because most people leave radio like, I got to get the hell out of here. And you're one of those people, man. You now work at the College of Charleston, man.
Yeah.
Can you give me a job out there where I can sit and look at chicks that are half-dressed all day? What's with your students there, man? Don't they have any clothes? Not that I'm complaining.
They're fine students. They're fine students.
Try happy hour. there you go. Hey, wait a minute. Famous artist Tommy Johnston. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Rock, you mentioned when you were talking to Dan Moon about Winchester Cathedral. You ought to tell your audience about that. Man, that is an interesting story.
I don't know the story.
Oh, you don't? Well, it was a house that the woman who was the heir to the
No, you heard me mention the Winchester house. She's nuts, you know. She put stairways up to nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, man, she had all kinds of weird things, and she was inviting the ghosts from the dead Indians and American soldiers that were killed by Winchester rifles to come and stay there at night.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
She figured that if you keep building a house, the ghosts can't get you. Now, where that rule came from, I don't know.
That was really weird. By the way, Rock, do you know how O'Hare International Airport got his name?
From a World War II hero, right?
It was the son of Artful Eddie, the lawyer who represented the Al Capone gang. He wanted him to go to Annapolis, so he ratted out Al Capone and his dog racing syndicate, National Dog Racing Syndicate. He got killed, but his son got to go to Annapolis. He became a lieutenant commander, shot down a bunch of
airplanes. Yeah, he was shot down. He was shot down in World War II, right?
He was the first Navy ace, and he was also a Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
There you go. Thanks, thanks, Tommy.
Talk to you later.
Yeah. By the way, that old place that you used to work in, Mike?
Yeah.
That was kind of like the Winchester house. That thing was so weird. It had little hallways, and everything was crooked, Donna.
Yeah.
Everything was crooked. I was on the air one time, and I think I had been there about 3 days, and I'm thinking, you know, a couple things happened. You know, first of all, the first day I was there, all of a sudden the floor began to rumble, and I was going, what the hell is that, bad pipes? When do we move out of here, Donna? Kim goes, no, that's just raccoons mating under the floorboards. I'm like, nice. And then, like, later that week, a big, huge piece of the ceiling came down and almost whapped Kim in the head.
Really?
Yeah. And now, this is in 2001. And, well, the reason was we were leaving the building, so why repair it?
Of course.
So for the next week, we were gone a week later, I think. And so there was a big hole in the roof up there. Mm. And it just stayed up there.
Wow.
You know, spiders and things up there. And everyone's like, wow. I remember one time a big old banana spider come flying down on the street. And it was like, it was the size of my hand. And it was just like right in the window between me and Kim. Mm,
good times, good times.
Okay, hang on. We're going to blow format. Hey, here he is. The only guy's partly louder than me. Fred Story. Fred.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Man, I just I heard you on the radio, and I thought, and I heard Rocky say, well, there's not any 10-year radio veterans around here that are all disgruntled, except for me.
Yeah, you were here before I got here. You're still here.
I worked with Mike.
Wow.
Mike was my news director.
Cool.
And I just got to thinking, the most important thing of that time in my thought process, going back 10 years, was what I've been hearing y'all talk about, is why I had to call in, was the stench of working in that old studio.
it smelled like black mold and dead bodies.
Well, Mike remembers there was a possum or a rat or something got up there, and it was dead for 3 or 4 days, and we couldn't do our job.
Yeah.
Fred, have you been down to Orange Grove Road and seen the old building lately? I mean, it's completely gone. Yeah. It melted.
It's completely gone.
They didn't knock it down. It fell down. Did you know that? They just,
I didn't realize that. I know that they've still got the old TMA transmitter down there. But back in those days, when I was working in the news department, Mike was the news director, and we had 5 or 6 people in the news department, like Mike was saying. It's totally different than the way it is now.
Yeah, everything's MP3. Hey, I'm up against time, you guys. You guys got 1 minute and 8 seconds. Be amazingly entertaining. Go.
I will be amazingly entertained by reminding Mike of the technical trap we were in back then. We were still on tape, and we fought with old equipment and an old telephone connection and old reel-to-reel to try to get the news on the air. And today, it's so simple compared to those days.
I know. I hate that. But I know how to splice tape if I have to.
Yeah, now we've got high-tech equipment, Mike, and here's what I do with it. Stuff like that. No, we got everything. Everything is on computer now. There's no, for those who don't even know, do we even have turntables here anymore? I don't even think we do. I think there's one product.
We have no cart machines or reel-to-reels.
No carts.
Wow.
No cart machines, because I was still using them in Tampa in an old studio, but we were already on digital before I got here. So, all right, Fred, see you.
See ya.
There you go. Hey, Mike, thanks for being on the show, man.
Rocky, you know, these 70 years, all we have been is placeholders for you.
Now you understand.
Is that what you wanted to hear?
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
See you, man.
The okay, history bye. Of TMA continues with more of this Wayback edition of Radio Free Rocky D. Coming up straight ahead.
WTMA, the hot, hot, hottest talk in town.
WTMA, mighty TMA.
This hour on the history of TMA, we're flashing back to our recent past. June 15th, 2009, the official 70-year anniversary of the day WTMA began its life as an integral part of Charleston Broadcasting. Radio Free Rocky D observed the date with some special voices from our station's past.
Welcome, 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 my fellow Charlestonian citizens of the Lowcountry, those who serve in uniform to protect the red, white, and blue, and those who serve in local uniform, sworn to protect the innocent citizens of the Lowcountry. And then there's me! This is Radio Free Rocky D, the Big Talker! That's how far we've come in 70 years. On 1250 WTMA, you, my friends, may in fact be politically incorrect. All you gotta do, stand up in front of a crowd, and you tell the truth out loud. When you tell the truth out loud, that makes you politically incorrect as well. And you'll be surrounded immediately by the PC thought police saying, how can anything exist before Obama got here? New, what? I don't get it. Call Rocky D, 843-556-1250, 843-556-1250. You can email me at rockyd@wtma.com, or you can instant message me at rockyd1250. I can't imagine doing this show, Donna, doing talk radio at all.
If Neil Bortz hadn't invented talking to your producer?
Yeah, that. Without computers. And by the way, Neil Bortz has all the stuff we do, and Glenn Black and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Wynity,
right,
and Deuce Limbo. They get all the same stuff we do, but they have staffs of 8 or 10.
Oh, yeah.
And me and Donna do it without all that stuff. Just she and I, that's it. That's all.
Plus our 27 other jobs.
And our show prep usually consists of she and I touch base at 8:30 in the morning. What do you got for today? Nothing. What do you got for today? I don't know. See you there. I'm up at 7:30 in the morning doing this.
You're up at 7:30 in the morning. I'm still slung up in the bed.
Today I got up at 7:30 in the morning and said, oh, yeah, it's reunion show day. Come back to bed.
I watched a little bit of it on Comcast C2.
So, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, by the way, the people who came in for the reunion show, especially you television people like Bill Sharp, do you live in a barn? Can't you throw your stuff away? I'm not cleaning up after you anymore. Bill. TV people, they're prissy. They're going to leave their... I don't touch empty cups. On the horn with us right now, one of the original guys, I'm not kidding you, from the old Tiger Radio days, I believe, Jack Gale. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Rocky. It was before Tiger Radio. Tiger Radio came after me. I think I left there in 57, 55 to 57. Sounds right to me.
You were here before Donna and I were born.
Oh, please. My social security number is 3. That's how far back I go.
You still do voiceovers, don't you?
Yeah, I do commercials nationwide from a studio at home.
Yeah, there's a lot less of those people than there used to be because what happened? I worked with at NBC with Pete Stacker, and he's the guy who does those Bud Dry. He's an imitation of Mason Adams.
Well, our problem now is most of the commercials that we get are car dealers, and they are more or less down in the tank, so it's pretty tough.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, where were you guys broadcasting from in 1955?
The Dock Street Theater on Church Street.
Now, you were actually next to the theater, were you not?
No. Oh, yeah, well, I guess next to the theater. We were on, like, the third floor.
You guys had to keep the studio, you had to keep the sound down because they were rehearsing and doing plays next door, weren't they?
Certain days we did, yeah, but our studios were on the third floor. Offices were on the second floor, I don't recall, but I know it was the Dock Street Theater, because one day the temperature was about 85 degrees, and I opened the door to the window to the studio on the third floor and was looking out the window in my shirt sleeves, and some fella down on the first floor was taking pictures, and he took a picture, and I waved, and about 3 months later I was in a drugstore, and I see postcards. Wish You Were Here type postcards, and I looked at it, and here's the Dock Street Theater, and I said, man, the Dock Street Theater, and I picked up one of the cards, and there I am waving out the window. National exposure.
Hey, there you go. You're a tourist souvenir.
Right, but that was a long, long time ago.
Where did you find a park down there? Because then you could park then. Back there, huh?
I don't even remember. I don't remember. I guess you could park down there. I don't know.
Did you walk to work?
No, I lived over west of the Ashley. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I live there now.
The Ashley, and I never will forget it. One of the boats, I guess this was 1956, a boat hit the bridge and damaged the bridge or knocked it down, and we couldn't get across. And there was a fellow with a rowboat that met me every morning at 5 o'clock for 50 cents and rowed me across. And somebody met me on the other side and going home the same way.
Sounds like something out of a War Between the States.
It was either that or else, from what I remember, we had to drive clean around through Somerville or something. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but my memory's a little foggy, you know.
Yeah, well, that's all right. That's all right. Now, you worked there for 2 years. I mean, who did you work with?
Oh, well, Chuck Smith was the boss. And I worked with Bill Walton. Bob Truitt was doing the news. And we had a fellow named Dick Drury. And I'm trying to remember who else. Buddy Charles, whose name was Buddy Gassett. And I had a record store on King Street opposite Fox Music called the Hound Dog Record Store. And we had such great times there because I rented the Folly Beach Pier. Is that still there?
I blew away and then built a new one.
Oh, because we rented the Folly Beach Pier for a year, and we booked all kind of acts at the Folly Beach Pier on Saturday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Wow. Well, you remember Hugo when it hit up here?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That, so went the pier.
Yeah.
But
well,
they built a new one. It's bigger and better and badder and wilder. But it's still not the old. It's higher in the air, so the air can go underneath it. You know.
Well, I'll tell you how long ago that was, because I remember July 4th weekend, we booked Connie Francis and Pat Boone, and they were like the hottest things in the world at that time.
Connie Francis and Pat Boone. Hey, you know
Connie
what?
Connie Francis and Pat Boone.
There's some rocking for you. I bet that was his head banging all day.
Yeah, and of course, the best show we ever had was Fats Domino.
That would have been fun to see that.
Hanging from the rafters, and in between shows, he washed his teeth and gargled with beer. True story.
he brushed his teeth with beer?
He gargled with beer and drove up with his manager in a Cadillac, a green Cadillac with dominoes on the side doors, you know, painted on the side doors.
See, Don, I told you. You tell me brushing my teeth with beer is wrong. Fat man did it.
They were great times. Great, great times. You know?
Oh, man. All right. Some big names came by besides that, too. Did you ever get big political names on your show?
No.
Because you did mostly music.
Oh, yeah, we did not. You do talk now, don't you?
Yeah, we're all talk. We've been talk for 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, we were all music, less talk. we were all music. But, of course, what we played was a lot different than what you guys are playing. We played Johnny Mathis and Andy Williams, you know, Goldie Grant,
and at the
Page.
And at the time when you were doing it, you had control over what was over the air.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because that was back in the day when, you know, the boss jock day was the beginning of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, well, we didn't have any of that. Tiger Radio with George Wilson came after me. But we played what we wanted to play, but it was all the pop stuff. Vic Damone and, you know, Perry Como, and that's what was playing. It was before rock and roll. Rock and roll had just really started, because I did a show called The Hound Dog on Saturday night, and we played a whole lot of R&B stuff at that time, but not during the day.
Hey, what did the job pay back then?
You know, I don't remember.
Like $100 a week or something?
I have no idea what it was. I mean, I guess I was management. I made a little bit more, but I remember Dick Drury had taken an audition at another station, and it was my first job as PD, and I was feeling my oats, and somebody told me that he had taken a job at applied for a job at another station. Mm-hmm. And I called him in, and I fired him. And I went down to Chuck Smith, and I said, I said, I'm PD, so I can fire anybody, right? He said, that's right. I said, well, I just fired Dick Drury because he took an audition at one of the other stations. And Chuck said to me, okay, who's going to do afternoon drive? And I said, I don't know. I said, we'll put Bill Walton in. He said, no, we can't do that because Bill Walton works 40 hours and he would have to get time and a half. So you're management. You don't do that. So you'll have to do afternoon drive.
Time and a half then was probably $3 an hour.
I said, I'm doing morning drive. He says, well, next time, he says, you have to learn to fire somebody at your convenience, not on emotion. So I hired the first guy that sent me a tape.
Who was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, sure I do. It was Steve Carroll. We became very friendly, and we're still friendly today. He lives about 20 miles from me.
Right now he does?
Yeah. He lives in Boynton Beach, and I live in Palm City.
Palm City. It's nice down there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful down here.
Yeah, but you don't want to be crazy. You don't want to be trying to cross the road in the early evening with all the oldsters coming down the street. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm one of those. What are you talking about, man?
Well, don't run me down, man.
Nothing here but doctors, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice retirement area. In fact, we have some of that around here to this day, as you well know.
Yeah, but no sense retiring. Retire from what? You know, I don't do anything. Just voiceover.
Yeah.
Don't do anything.
My dad retired after 40-something years, 45 years in the car business, spent 2 months fishing, and then became a woodworker. I mean, you sit around and do nothing. You end up turning into dust. Well, it was nice to talk to you again, Jack.
Great talking to you, Rocky. And, just say hello to everybody in Charleston for me. Everybody you meet on the street, just say Jack Hill says hello.
Okay. if you ever get up here, come on in someday, man.
I sure will. Thanks.
Thanks, Jack.
Bye-bye.
Wow, from 1955? I wasn't even born then.
WTMA, Tiger Radio, Mighty TMA.
More of our 70th birthday broadcast with Rocky D on the way as the history of TMA rolls on.
You're listening to the History of TMA with John Quincy.
News Talk 1250, WTMA.
Now here's more Rocky D from June 15th, 2009.
Hey, we're 70 years old today, man. And guess what, Donna? It's all about me.
Is it?
Yeah. I've decided to take this whole 70th birthday for WTMA, take control of it, and make it all about me. It's never been done before.
Never.
Hey,
how about every day?
Here's my original producer after the first guy lasted 2 days and said, I hate this other guy. Hey, and then they stuck her in there. She said, my God, what's wrong with this boy? Kim Basso. Hey, Kim, baby.
It's been a long time since I've been called that.
Kim, baby. Well, you need to be called that more often. I looked up your radio station in Florence. Did you guys go out of business? What happened?
What do you mean?
It's not on there. Eagle 92.9 is gone.
Oh, no. We're fixing our website. So I still do the morning show there, but I'm the PD of our news talk up here now. Can you believe that?
Hey, you need to put the Rocky D show on up there. We'll give it to you.
Well, a lot has changed. You know, I just checked out the website,
uh-huh.
The new website, and you guys are the big talker now, which it didn't used to be the big talker.
Well, you know why. You used to work here. Donna doesn't know that about working in the old building. Tell Donna about you and I working in that old building for about a month.
Oh, my goodness. Well, do you remember when the spider fell in front of me?
Yep. We talked about that. Big, gigantic spider come crawling down.
Did you scream like a girl?
Oh, yeah, I screamed. And I threw my hand up and knocked over a microphone stand, and it was a mess. Yeah, it was bad news in that building. They had raccoon infestations.
Under the floor. It was raccoon. Mm-hmm. It was muskrat love under the floor.
Snakes were in there. I still miss that building, though. I miss it.
If you want to go see where it used to be, just go down the end of the road. God took it back.
Oh, really?
It's completely gone.
Wow.
Hey, it was falling apart with me and you were standing there. Remember one day we were on the air and a big old hunk of the ceiling fell down in front of you?
Yeah.
Wham! And I'm like, Kim, you all right?
And a light fell. I mean, there was some crazy stuff that happened in that building, yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is that when I got in there, I got volume. And my voice began to shake that building. They used to complain because we actually had another radio station. Did we have one other radio station in the building or two?
I can't
remember.
The country station was there and the top 40 was there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's excellent. They would come down and say, can you keep it down? Keep it down. I'm Rocky Day.
Well, you're calling it a building. It was more of like a trailer, like kind of a, it was a modular.
It was kind of a cross between a double wide and that crazy lady Winchester's house.
Oh, see, you see how politically correct I am now?
What?
I called it a modular building instead of a trailer.
Yeah, you've gone back to music radio where you have to be nice to people, isn't that it?
Yeah, I forgot. I'm like, you know what? I could just call it a trailer. Yeah. It's a Rocky show.
I know. We had a whole bunch of fun on the show. And then, you know, since you've left, things have changed dramatically. You know, you were in this building for a while. We had a good, you're still in some of the old photos. If you take a look through some of the big shots on my big shots page at RockyD.com.
Uh-huh.
You take a look through there, you can still see you in a couple of those pictures in the background.
Oh, well, I need to do that, reminisce. Well, let me tell you something. When I got the call from John Quincy, I was like, wow, that's a blast from the past. And then he says, well, call Rocky. He's on the air. And I said, what? And he goes, oh, yeah, he's on middays now.
Yeah, my big thing now. Yeah, I'm on against Douche Limbo. No problem. You guys run Douche Limbo?
You guys run Douche Limbo? We do. We run Limbaugh, and I have to say, don't you feel like he's getting crankier in his old age?
I think he's about done.
He can't hear that well, and he kind of yells at the call, like he yells at his producer, and he yells at the callers, and.
Well,
I mean, of course, he's great. He's
he's a standard, but Mike, remember Mike Noble?
Yeah,
he was the first program director that when I came up here. He and I were standing in that old gravel parking lot outside the double wide. And, you know, he said, Limbaugh's going deaf. You think you can make something out of this? And I looked at him because Mike played some football. He was kind of a stocky guy.
Right.
I played a lot of hockey, as you know. You even came to the rink a couple times, I think.
Yeah, sure.
And then we looked at each other and we went, he's going deaf? And we both said at the same time, painkillers. Anybody who plays sports, yes, anybody. Well, we didn't know what OxyContin was. Right. But anybody in sports knows if you take too many painkillers, it'll affect your sight and your hearing.
What's that?
If it'll affect your hearing if you take too many painkillers.
Huh?
You guys had the good stuff up there. So you're doing it. So,
yeah,
so now,
that well.
So now you're doing the morning show, and you're the PD of the talk monster up there. Hey, you know what?
Yeah, I do the morning show on the music station, on the country station.
Yeah,
and then you know, I get off at 9 a.m. doing that, and so then I spend the rest of the afternoon doing PD work, and then I'm done. I'm already off work. I'm on the couch right now.
There you go. Good. Is there a therapist nearby?
Yeah. You think I'd need one, right?
Yeah, after all this time.
It's so good to hear your voice, though. So good to hear your voice.
Oh, I'm still the same. I'm still loud, rowdy, and Donna has to tell me to shut up once in a while.
So is it a celebration, WTMA Day, down there?
Yeah.
70 years is a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, in fact, we're the only signal in the state that's kept our call letters that long. Is that right, Donna? Yeah.
Yes.
Because there was one on earlier before us, a WCS or something like that, but they changed later on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot to be said for that, because, I mean, you know, some stations, they flip at the drop of a hat, you know?
So. Well, they do. We just keep here plugging along, and of course, as long as I'm here, it'll always have volume.
Well, it's something to celebrate. You guys need to get a cake. It's not a celebration without a cake.
Talk Radio 1250 WTMA.
Smoke that cigarette.
Tell you what. One of the things we did at WTMA recently that made history was we shut down the secondhand smoke debacle. Remember that? We shut that down in 2002 and 2003, and it took them another five years or so to get it pushed through. They finally did it by lying. Yeah, they did it. But back in the day when who was the first guy to crack the microphone after they went all tuck? Worth Waring is one of the guys. Hey, Worth, were you the guy or what?
No, I at that moment, I was overnight news editor, Rocky. I was the guy that put words in people's mouths. There was a rule that we made up from the beginning that we would not do any ripping and reading except for feature stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything had to be original. And so I would get there at midnight and type until 6 as fast as I could.
Yeah. So you guys were there. Were you in the building when Hugo came ripping through?
Yes, I was. Or actually, I was not in the building. We were all evacuated, but Dan Moon and I got, I guess it took, 12 hours or so on the morning after for people to cut the fallen trees off of Orange Grove Road. But as soon as we could get down there, there was a substantial generator. So we had electricity and air conditioning in the whole nine yards.
Now, well, you had air conditioning. Today, we don't. We blew up our air conditioning.
I heard that.
It's like 90 degrees in here.
People complained about Orange Grove Road with the fiddler crabs roaming the floors, but they ate the cockroaches, so there wasn't...
there's always a positive side to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were in there. Yeah, Kim never forgets the day that spider the size of my hand came in, and it was like hanging in the air.
Well, you and I and Kim, we all worked there at the same time, but not at the same time, because I was the Dracula of the bunch. I had to be out of there before sunrise or something horrible.
Yeah, I don't think I ever... Did I ever see you?
Once
or twice.
I think, you know, just, you know, at one of the mass firings.
Yeah.
But
are you disgruntled? I'm having a problem reaching people, man.
Disgruntled. I couldn't get more gruntled if I tried. But I've got to tell you one story about a change in format. And this is one of the classics. Just before we went talk, we'd been in there for a couple of nights doing dry runs, practice runs. And at the time, the format was still country and western, as they called it then. And it changed at 0600 on the 1st of June, 1989. The country music played it right up till 5:59. We brought in the CBS Network News, and then Dorothy Conflenti and Dave Parker went on the air with the news. And I was sitting there breathing a huge sigh of relief, because you can imagine what it's like the first morning.
Yeah.
And the phone rang. Mm-hmm. And it was a very sweet little old lady wanting to request a particular tune. And I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but as of now, we're doing news." And she says, "But, I mean, after the news is over." And I told her, "Ma'am, the news is never going to end."
By the way, that lady still calls her every day.
Yeah. What, tumbling tumbleweeds, I believe.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If I had to play that, I'd shoot myself in the foot. Of course, then again, it's a good tune to play for bits and stuff. And now we're here, and then 2009, everything is high-tech, it's whiz-bang. Me and Donna do the job of about 8 different people.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up, folks.
No, I understand. They were just trying to get the software perfected about the time I left. They couldn't believe I demanded a typewriter because I could use the computer, yes, but it was about 3 blocks away from the newsroom.
Yeah.
So it had to have something a little more direct, but now I believe they've got those bugs out of there.
Have you been in a new building?
Oh, yeah.
Something else compared to what you worked in before, huh?
Oh, sure, but, you know, I think they built a little large because the computers have taken the place of everybody. Now you could set off a hand grenade in the center of the place and probably not hurt anybody.
Well, we used to own 8 stations, and we divested
That's right.
Things were going wacky.
That's right.
Because people wanted to buy them. We had a religious station in here. We had an oldies Music of Your Life station in here.
It was all over. In fact, that Music of Your Life started as a second talk after we put the other. We decided we'd compete with ourselves.
WTMA, we at least have 2 or 3 live shows going. We have some live weekend shows. It still is important for a local talk station to reach out and touch the local people here.
Absolutely. And when an emergency happens, Hugo, we had notice. It was coming. But if, heaven forfend, a large earthquake ever hits on a weekend when most of the radio stations don't have anybody in them, who's going to tell anybody?
I wondered about that myself.
Need to have a human being around.
Well, you heard me talking to Kim Baby, right?
Yes.
All right, you remember her, too, of course.
Well,
maybe you don't.
Maybe company parties, because I was midnight till 6 always, or 3 till 9, depending on whatever they need.
Well, I'll tell you, when I first got there, I went to the old the double-wide trailer, and dude, with the fiddler crabs?
Oh, yeah.
Went there in 2001, end of August is when they brought me in.
Oh, right. Well, by then it was being stripped.
It was falling apart.
I remember we had some people practicing their chip shots down the long hall there. That was...
with pieces of the building.
Had to holler 4 when you walked in the door.
Yeah, well, we got that going. And then Donna and I do the job of about 8 or 10 people here.
Yeah, I've been listening.
We do everything all ourselves. In fact, right now, while I'm talking to you, I'm doing what the young kids at the college would call frazzing. Except I'm now, according to the kid that was in here one time,
Are you allowed to do that on the air?
It's different than it used to be, wearing.
Yeah.
what it is that frazzing is operating more than 2 communication implements at once.
Oh.
Kind of like watching TV, talking on the phone, and surfing on the net, that's a common one that people do.
Hmm.
Okay? And I'm like Uber frazzer, because I've got 9 going at once, including talking to Donna.
Wow. Well,
through hand signals.
Great for people with attention deficit disorder. They'd never get bored.
Of course, Donald's only got 2 hand signals for me. One looks like this. The other one looks like that.
We hope you've enjoyed this hour of the History of TMA. I'm John Quincy, inviting you to check out our online edition, WTMAMemories.com. There you can hear and download historic recordings and interviews and read and see more about the people and events who've helped make this station what it is, a special part of Charlestonians' lives for over 7 decades. That's WTMAMemories.com. And keep it right here on the station that continues to make history, as well as talk about it as it happens. 1250 WTMA.